by which he has made us accepted by in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. He's talking all about the same thing about salvation, but the different characteristics of it. We have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and all prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. For whose purpose? His purpose. For his good pleasure. We can read on down further in verse 14. It says, to the praise of his glory, we are given the Holy Spirit. We need to see that, yes, indeed, what a blessed thing it is for us to be saved and recognize it's something that God has done, that we benefit from, for his glory. What a tremendous truth. Don't forget that. It's something that you as a young Christian should grasp hold of. You're completely forgiven for his name's sake. Not only that, but you have known the Father. When John uses the word know 25 times in this small book, when he uses that word know, he means that it's not something they learned in a textbook, something they've experienced. They've seen it. They've touched it. Remember, he talks about his own experience with Christ. The one that they've seen, whom they've heard, whom they handled. Their experience, they knew who Christ was. That you can know, he says here, you have known the Father. Not that you had some kind of bit of information that God exists, but that you have a knowledge by a relationship with him. So you've known the Father. Talking about that relationship. The word here used for little child in the first point, the letter A, is interesting because that emphasizes, it's a different, little different word. Think of it this way. You call your child, or you might call them kid. Right? Child tends to be a little more formal. Maybe makes you think of little, smaller kids. Kid, you think a little more general than just a small child. Here, he uses two different words. The first word, emphasizing the relationship that we have with God because our sins are forgiven for his name's sake. The second one here emphasizes immaturity, not being mature. But see how he relates it? Have known the Father. Though you're immature, you still have known the Father. That's great assurance to a person to know that in that postcard, that in salvation, you know that you are forgiven, and you know that Father. Not just some bit of knowledge, but have experienced God and have a relationship with him. The next thing he does is address the spiritually mature. Those who are older in age and wiser probably are involved. After all, that's true with Christians. In order to be a Christian for 30 years, guess what? You have to have lived at least 30 years, probably more like 40 years. That makes sense, doesn't it? And we see that with age generally comes wisdom. Here he's talking about the spiritually mature, probably those that have been saved for some time, and those who have developed their faith. They understand God's word. They're able to apply it in the way that they think and the way that they behave. You see somebody, even here at church, we'll have kids in here. In the morning service, you'll see the kids sometimes messing around or talking real quiet. And they're behaving immaturely in a formal place. Whereas all the adults are all stiff and got their ties on right and every hair in place. And we stand up and sit down and all that we're supposed to do. Why? We've got a little more experience to our lives. We understand the atmosphere and how to react to certain things. It comes with age. Comes with practice. Here are the spiritually mature, those who have been believers for some time and have grown tremendously in their faith. These would, as Hebrews writes, would be those who would be teachers, the leaders. Says, he writes to them twice, he says, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Interesting, he goes back to their salvation experience. It says, to have known him who is from the beginning, he points to the fact of perhaps of either at the cross they were involved with Jesus' life, and maybe perhaps some of them knew him personally. These were obviously saved and have been saved for some time, so they've known Christ and been faithful to Christ from the beginning. Christ could be Christ or God the Father. God the Father is the immediate context stated right before. It says here in the Bible Knowledge Commentary that in light of chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, this implies that they have truly experienced fellowship with God. They've really spent time with God. You know, our goal should be maturity. We should have the goal of spiritual maturity in your life. Do you have in your own life a personal goal to grow spiritually? You've seen the Olympics and some of the commercials on the Olympics. And you'll see a young person watching on their iPhone or whatever device that they have. And they see that the swimmer or the runner or the jumper has made this certain world record goal. Having made that goal, they write that down. That's their goal. They are going to push themselves to meet that goal. As a Christian, what kinds of goals do you have? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, we read that the apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers are given, and they are to help grow Christians until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Your personal goal should be to be more and more like Christ. Are you intentionally trying to do that? You might need to set goals for yourself. There's sins in your life that you struggle with. You're going to make it a goal that tomorrow, you, when that temptation comes, you won't fall into that temptation. That's one thing you can do. Practice resisting temptation. What else? Well, in order to grow closer to God, you need to spend time in His Word. How well do you know God's Word? Are you challenging yourself to learn the names, the places, the events of the Bible? Are you challenging yourself to really grasp hold of what's being said when you read God's Word? Can you say a month from now that you know much more about God's word than you did the previous month? Are you making yourself a goal to study through a book of the Bible, or maybe just to read through, to refamiliarize yourself? When was the last time you read through the Gospels? I think they get ignored a lot by Christians because we know the old Jesus miracle stories, and that's what's in them. Yet we don't challenge ourselves to know them even better. We don't challenge ourselves to perhaps know where they are. For example, in Luke 16, right? In Luke 16, what do you find? You find Lazarus and the rich man. You also find the parable of the prodigal son. Did you know that? You're not trying to become the most knowledgeable person about the Bible, but the more you know about the Bible, the more you know about God, the more you're going to have to help you grow in Christ. What about in your prayer life? Have you challenged yourself in prayer to take 10 whole minutes to pray every day? Maybe keep a list, 3x5 cards or a list. Maybe challenge yourself in this. Instead of coming to God and praying for this and that, as far as needs are concerned, spend a good portion of your prayer praising Him. Do you need a little guidance in these kinds of prayers? You've got a whole book full of them. The book of Psalms, 150 of them. What if you were to memorize some of them? Have you challenged yourself to memorize God's word? You know, it's real easy for us to say, I'm too old, or I'm not good at that kind of stuff. We can make excuses for anything we don't want to do, can't we? Well, David said, your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. If, someone, we are to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, then we have to know it. Would it kill you to pick two verses out of the Bible and memorize both, make them short? Start with Psalm 1. Psalm verse 1 and verse 2. Memorized it. Don't know if I can do it right off the top of my head, where it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Would it kill you to memorize those? If you take a piece of paper and write across the whole length of it, you'll see how short that verse really is. You've memorized lines from movies, from songs, and other places, commercials, more than you realize. To memorize God's word takes some effort, depending on the verses, but you can do it. Would you do that? Would you be willing to challenge yourself to grow to spiritual maturity by memorizing God's word? What about demonstrating love to other people? God wants us to do that. We just saw it's an evidence of our faith. How can you this week demonstrate love to another believer or unbeliever? Come up with creative ideas. In order to grow spiritually, you're going to have to do the work. The guy at the starting line of the 100 meter dash, he will never make it to the end unless, when the gun goes off, he makes the effort to run as hard as he can. When he gets, if it's like me, to the 40 or 50 yard mark, and he starts running out of gas, he can choose to quit instead of too old for this, or to push on. Would it be said of you that you are a father or mother in the faith. A couple characteristics of the mature in the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 says, solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Sign of mature can distinguish what's right and wrong. We think we can all do that until it comes to some of the more difficult things. James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that way you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance is another characteristic. Being able to do these things shows spiritual maturity. Well, the next ones I call the spiritually growing. The young men. Young men, they tend, as far as the scriptures and John is concerned, this is likely the age between either moving out of the house or getting kicked out of the house until marriage. Somewhere in there would be the young men. Young men that are energetic, wanting to serve, and yet also struggling with temptations. In general, these here, the spiritual growing, we find, have overcome the wicked one. It says, I write to you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. These are ones who, even though they struggle with temptations, they find themselves overcoming it. They're working hard. When we let temptation draw us off the path, it's like being the guy that's running that 100 meter dash, and the fatigue or the pain gets so unbearable that we decide to quit. Although you've seen many of the Olympic people, when that has happened, instead of quitting, they've hobbled or crawled to the finish line. That's what the young men do. They keep going. When the wicked one comes, they don't fall into it. If they fall into the temptation, when we continue to fall into temptation, and not, it prevents us from growing spiritually the way we should. Think of that person that's growing up. We use that infant, and they're growing up fairly normal, but maybe a leg or an arm is not growing right. They have one arm that's normal for the body, another one that's short or shriveled. Something's obviously wrong. We need to be striving to be completely healthy in Christ that way. James chapter 4 verse 7 tells us to submit to God, and then submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need to overcome the temptations, overcome the wicked one who's lurking about, seeking whom he may devour. These young men are strong. Now we think of young men strong anyway. But here, clearly, I think, is speaking about spiritually they are strong. Obviously, they are as they resist temptations. Here we see in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. To be strong in the Lord. Well, what does it take to be strong in the Lord? Remember some of the characteristics that we talked about as goals to growing to spiritual maturity? Those kinds of things. Let me finish up with, he says in here, looking at verse 14, because I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. The word of God abides in you. Think about yourself. I like reading or listening to the Bible. Usually reading it is better for me than listening. I space off sometimes when I'm listening. at least when you're reading, you can go back when you spaced off and find out how to land that rocket ship and stay right here on Earth. You're reading God's Word, and it's interesting that throughout the day, as you get time to think, some of those verses will pop up in your head, or a situation will come up and you'll say, hey, this is exactly what I read today or yesterday. Unless you're in the names and the genealogies, and then maybe that doesn't help so much. When we take God's Word, is it abiding in us to the degree that our minds wander back to it? What does your mind wander to? Sometimes it wanders what I need to get done today. Sometimes it wanders some of the things I've done today. Sometimes it wanders off into what's for supper. That's where my noise goes. Where does your mind wander to? Does it wander back to God's Word? Do you maybe intentionally ask yourself, what was it that I read today in God's Word? What's some of the things I learned? Do you challenge yourself that way? We need to let God's Word abide in us, to let it be our living within us. That word abide he uses over and over again. We are to abide in the light. Here, the word abide that makes its house in you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14 says that he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of God, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and in cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. When we let God's Word abide in us and we're growing spiritually, we don't have happen what's constantly happening. We hear some preacher over here say this and some preacher over there say that. And we come up with strange ideas that are actually foreign to the Bible. What they said makes sense. You're still getting knocks on the door from Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses. And you've already determined in your mind that they are wrong. But could you stand against them if they are talking to you and sharing from their Bible certain things? Would you be able to know God's Word well enough to say, why don't you read a little bit further and see if that's what that means? Would you be able to take them to other passages and say, wait a minute, the Bible also says this. So either the Bible is wrong and contradicting itself, or one passage over the other is not being understood clearly. We need to grow spiritually. You need to grow spiritually. You need to challenge yourself. You have to take the initiative. If you don't, you will remain on the starting line when the gun goes off. You will remain the infant, being a Christian, the proud Christian of being saved for 40 or 50 years. And yet, if you look at your life, do you end up looking spiritually, if you were to take a picture of yourself, would you look like a 6-year-old? Where are you? And what are you going to do about it? I hope that you will do what we need to grow in a mature relationship with God. I hope that you'll see how you can be the encouragement to the young men and little children in their walk with Christ as well. Father, I ask that you would challenge each one of us as you have, but that you would take your Holy Spirit and really work deep in our hearts, that you would convict us of our spiritual stuntedness. I ask that you would help us that we might be diligent to grow in your word. I thank you that you've given it to us. I pray that you would help us that we might be developing our relationship with you even greater as we spend time in prayer with you. Not to develop the skills of prayer, but to develop our personal fellowship with you. Oh Lord, help us that your word may abide in us, that we might learn it and know it and memorize it, that we might live it out in the way that we demonstrate your love to other people. Father, I ask that you'd help us so that way within even a few short months, we could look back and say, my, how we've grown. We do this for your glory and your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.